Warning. The programming you are about to listen to may contain adult language and situations.
Listener discretion is advised.
This week, Montrealers have their last chance to share opinions on a pair of new noise bylaws, tabled last month in the nightlife-heavy Plateau Montréal and Ville-Marie boroughs. City officials say the bylaw review is a way to clarify the rules and responsibilities around noise and better protect venues like the historic La Tulipe from noise-related closures. The big change: officials are moving away from the status quo where any concert or bar noise heard from outside was deemed too much. Now, the city is putting in place clear decibel limits and giving city staffers the tools for how to measure them. But nightlife actors say those changes won't affect the reality on the ground, as long as police officers are still the first on call and are allowed to forego the numbers in favor of personal discretion around noise. And stakes are all the higher, with a venue's minimum fine for a first offense going up from $1,500 to $10,000. Joining me to discuss the changes are Max Honingman with Montreal 2424, a nightlife research and advocacy group here in the city, as well as Sergio Da Silva, owner of Turbo House, a bar and venue in the Ville-Marie borough, and part owner of Blue Dock, which just shuttered its doors after almost two decades in the Plateau. Here's our conversation. Both Montreal 2424 and then you, Sergio, on Instagram put out these calls to arms against the proposed changes and some of what you found concerning in that. I want to ask you both, looking at these proposed bylaws, what's so concerning that you had to sort of go public and say, we should make changes while we still have the time?
Do you want to start, Sergio?
Yeah, sure. I think the biggest one immediately is sort of the increase in the fine for a first offense, which is like unbearable. Like a $10,000 fine on any small business or any small bar or venue is basically a death sentence. And then you couple that with sort of like their lip service to sort of doing what other people have asked, like the decibel limits. Basically, that should be put in place so businesses know how to conform to the rules. Whereas now, if you leave everything at the discretion of the police, that rule basically has no teeth and is more of an instrument for the police to, come down harder on the businesses than it is for the business to be able to conform with the rules that are on the books.
Yeah, I would 100% echo that. I mean, I think the main takeaway here is that these proposed updates wouldn't actually do anything. Like, even if this was passed a year or two ago, would not have actually helped protect venues that are closing or facing issues like La Tulipe, like Blue Dog, which just closed, Diving Bell Social Club, Champs, which is having issues. So it doesn't do anything to really get at the root of the problem. And like Sergio mentioned, the same issue of leaving things totally at the will of like a single person doing a complaint or a very small number of people and a police officer's arbitrary decision making doesn't really bring us forward. So we have additional tools to kind of criminalize, including potentially additional surveillance, higher fines, and nothing that's really substantively protecting struggling venues.
Yeah, let's talk about that discretion piece, because you mentioned this, that it's not shifting the decision-making power over whether a venue has too much noise or not away from the hands of the police. And this is a concern that venues have. And I want to hear more about why it's a concern, because I can imagine somebody saying, well, if I'm trying to sleep and I am in a situation where whether it's a venue or my neighbor is like too loud, I want someone to be able to respond to the problem right away, whether it's a cop or someone else, whether they have the equipment or not. Like, I don't want that to go away. Why is that keeping the decision-making power and the discretion ultimately still in the hands of the police a problem for the nightlife sector?
I feel like the biggest issue is that there are no guidelines as to what he can use or they can use as what is excessive noise. It's purely, it's sort of like all vibes. If he's having a bad day and shows up to some show and is like, oh, this, I don't like this, this is too loud. Now he has extra power to shut down the entire, not only shut down the entire event, but, God forbid, he decides, also, I'm extra annoyed today, and I'm actually going to file this as a noise complaint. I'm going to give you a $10,000 fine. There's nothing on the other end to protect the bar or the venue or the promoter or anybody. Like, when you leave it to one person and basically, you know, at their discretion, it's like impossible to actually adhere to any rules that may be on the books. Like, there's nothing you can do.
You know, at least earlier you could kind of eat a fine and challenge it later in court and continue with your show, you know, at a reduced volume or something. But now you can get hit with a fine and have the show like get stopped right in the middle by a cop having a bad day, like Sergio mentioned. So then not only are you losing hours of sales, the experience is ruined, and you're also getting hit with a fine. So
basically what we're talking around for anyone who's going to be listening and thinking like, okay, it's not really clear, like the cops have more power now. What the new bylaws say is that, you know, there's a task force and they do have these devices where they can measure, you know, sound, and it's quite technical. There's no longer the requirement that venues make no noise outside. But what you're saying is then like, it's probably not going to be that task force doing the majority of the enforcement. It's going to be at night and it's going to be beyond their working hours and the cops are going to come and it's up to them. Sergio, as somebody who is a venue owner, what kind of stuff do you see day to day that makes you sort of think like, we can't trust these guys to like give them any discretion on this matter?
Well, the first thing is that there's two arms of the police here that are kind of like both getting at you at the same time, right? You have the provincial arm from the Régie d'alcool, which will come in and they have their own rules and their own sort of like obligations. And then you have the SPVM. So then my biggest issue, and has been for a while, is that the city, regardless of what the city says, even if they, you know, was the perfect situation for everybody involved, they're also not working with the province. So if the Régie d'alcool and the morality police decide that this is still an issue, then, you know, you're still going to be hit with those fines. You're still going to be hit with closures of your bar, suspensions of your liquor license. And like on the day to day, like that's kind of like, it's sort of like everything is still up in the air. Like the only rules that they're changing are to make things worse. And the only rules that they're going to enforce are rules that make things worse, because ultimately the rules that they can put forth to make things better can be, you know, shut down by the province. So like we're kind of like in this situation where it's only bad. It's kind of frustrating.
Yeah. Max, you mentioned before, you know, you would just eat the fine, but now you have the potential to be fined and have your actual show shut down. What you're referring to is that the city saying that they're introducing this compliance mechanism so venues can choose to basically follow the cop or whatever enforcement person's there, their orders around the noise. Because the city says, like, this is something we're offering so you don't get fined. That if somebody comes and intervenes and says, well, it's actually too loud, you just turn down the music and then show goes on and you don't have to pay right out of pocket. Is that still a problem? I'd like to hear from you, if so, about like why.
Yeah, well, I mean, things are definitely still very unclear with regards to enforcement. And to be honest, they'll probably stay that way. One thing that's very concerning, though, is the city's talking about reserving the right to force venues to install like sound monitoring equipment and reserving the right to kind of demand that data. The police, the city can ask for that data anytime. So you could even technically get a fine when there's been no noise complaint, if you're exceeding the limits that they've set, which for even for inside your space, which didn't exist previously. So there's this kind of surveillance aspect that seems unnecessary, invasive. You know, the monitoring equipment is going to be at the venue's expense, so it could be quite expensive as well. It just seems like completely the wrong approach to take in a time when venues are closing left and right. They're struggling to stay alive after COVID. We have gentrification running full steam. Like, why are you going to criminalize venues even further? And ultimately, we feel like this noise policy and other actions from the city have been treating live music like a nuisance to be kind of criminalized and controlled rather than something that should be celebrated and protected. And we can talk more about kind of how you could actually get to the root of the problem to protect culture here if you'd like as well.
You know, that being said, I guess I want to ask, were you surprised in June when this was released after, as you said, like 2 years of talking about what nightlife means to the city and the importance of the venues and culture. And there was a public consultation that lasted the better part of a year. There was a nightlife report. There's been a lot of words and a lot of stakeholders convened. In light of all that context, like when you actually went through the changes piece by piece, like how did you feel about it?
Certainly, like I mentioned before, we're feeling like the sector is not necessarily being listened to. Like the real issues that we're kind of shouting from the rooftops are not actually being reflected in changes. For example, there's the whole program that's been touted for nocturnal vitality establishments and zones, the pôles et les établissements de vitalité nocturne. We had a look at kind of what this program will actually offer. They've kind of quietly started releasing some information on the first round of places to be designated, and there's nothing to protect from noise. It's just about, you know, extended hours to serve alcohol, which is great, which we're in favor of, and funding for soundproofing, which is also nice, but nothing is solving what's the real issue here, which is venues which have existed for years, sometimes for decades, that are just trying to exist, just trying to do what they do, which is put on shows. People move in nearby knowing full well where they're moving into, and then start legally harassing the venue for just doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's the real issue here. That's what we're faced with kind of out of control, gentrification, with potentially poorly thought out zoning and urban planning. That's a situation that we're currently left with. And a place like Blue Dog or Let's Vip, it's not going to be the last if things continue in this direction. So we're very concerned. We would love to see a single office of nightlife that's staffed at the city government by people who actually have a background in culture that can advocate for us and not just regulate and monitor us. We'd love to see a kind of more flexible mediation process for managing complaints, so they don't automatically just go to the cops. There should be, again, people who know the sector, who know the area, who know the players, who can get involved and try to work out issues before they even have to involve the cops, because ultimately, shouldn't the cops have better things to do? I definitely think so. And ultimately, adopting the agent of change principle, which gives priority to whoever was there first, like I was mentioning earlier. So if a bar or venue has existed, it's kind of up to the newer projects to adapt to that reality. And it goes both ways too. Like if you want to open a new bar next to a condo building, it's on you to adapt to that situation. So it's very much a common sense, safe practice that's in place in tons of cities. So these are things that would actually help get to the root of the issue, and we're not seeing any discussion of that at all. So we're a bit disappointed in that regard.
And then Sergio, you'd like to see better cooperation between different levels of government. Is there anything else that you think needs to change?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the agent of change rule, obviously, like Max had mentioned, is, a top priority. Like, I'd like to see, a change where it can't just be one person abusing these, this 911 to shut down. If you look at like the Blue Dog situation, that's three different places that this one person has decided to, are a nuisance and are going to get shut down. That's, countless jobs, promoters, all these people who are sort of out of work.
So Blue Dog was it was about noise as well in the end.
I mean, there was certainly an aspect of that. Absolutely. And when you think about, again, when you see that these noise complaints are constantly coming in, there is an intimidation factor where it becomes difficult to bring in different bands and different promoters because they just don't want to have to deal with this one person who may or may not shut down your show. Like, it's not just about receiving a fine or whatever. Like, there are, consequences to having that reputation.
What happens if those changes aren't made? What are the stakes of that? And how do people who love arts and culture and love nightlife and love venues and going to shows, how do we act in the midst of all that?
I mean, it's not a difficult thing to see. Like, imagine you're going to CASA and they get a noise complaint and boom, $10,000. And then the next day they get another noise complaint, that boom, $10,000. That's 20 G's. That's the end of that venue. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a quick thing. Like, this idea that, like, we're going to be able to go off, we'll be able to go on life as normal, and this is not actually an extreme issue, I think is kind of like, the worst way to look at it. Like, a $10,000 fine for a first offense, I can't stress enough how fucked up that is. I'm actually speechless, like every time I think about it. So like in terms of like what that looks like, you're going to have a lot of people who are just less willing to get involved. There's like, as places close, you're going to see less people who want to get involved in opening new ones because the risk is just too high. And like, so, you know, the developers and the landlords, ultimately they win in this situation, which is sad.
Max and Sergio, thank you so much for coming on CKUT. I really appreciate it. Always happy to hear your thoughts on nightlife, even if they are extremely depressing.
I mean, I wouldn't be that sore. Like at the end of the day, like what I always say, like venues exist because bands exist. Bands don't exist because venues exist. People are always going to find places to play and people are always going to find, you know, ways to do it. But, you know, if you want to do it in a safe way where you're not pushed to the outskirts of the city like you're, you know, like some sort of criminal, then, you know, these things have to be changed and they have to be fixed, and they have to be fixed literally today.
That was Max Honingman and Sergio De Silva on Montreal's new nightlife bylaws, tabled in the Plateau Montréal and Ville-Marie boroughs last month. Together with a new nightlife accreditation process and new support for soundproofing, these bylaws are a linchpin of Montreal's program on nightlife. And citizens have until July 25th to make their voices heard. You can find an online form as well as the full bylaws and public presentations online at montreal.ca. For CKUT, I'm Jules Bijal with the Local Journalism Initiative.